just a little while ago, actually within this last month, he revealed that on a global level, there is an assault of a Leviathan spirit, which is a twisted serpent that twists communication and relationships. We'll go into some more detail on that in a moment, but it's actually hitting on global levels. And a lot of you are being hit in your personal lives, in your families, in your workplace, in your churches, but you might not even realize that it is an actual spirit. So, Robert, I know that there's two areas usually of assault where the enemy comes in. You know, we're not a ministry that loves to focus on the enemy, but when you're in a season of warfare, you need to know who your enemy is.
That's right. That's
you know,
right.
So you don't want to exalt the enemy, but you need to be aware of him. You don't go out to war without knowing who your enemy
that's
is.
That's right.
And so there's two areas. In John 10:10, it says, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy.
Right.
Jesus said those words, so we have to be aware of that.
That's right.
And so if we have already obtained territory that we're walking in, the enemy might try to disturb that territory.
That's
and
right.
If we see that he is, we need to put him in his place and
yes.
just, you know, he's going to flee. But the second area is when we're getting ready to go and take brand new territory. For example, when Israel was told by God to go in and take over the promised land, they were to possess and occupy it, it was full of giants.
That's right.
He led them into a land that was full of giants. And the reason why is he wanted to make them victors. He wanted to make them victors. So they went in, they had to take out all the giants, leaving none behind, so that they could possess and occupy that realm of authority, that good land.
That's right.
And so many of you are in an area where you are taking over new realms of authority in the spirit. Brand new areas. We are at XP too. We've been just in this season, you know, just taking over new ground, stepping into things we've never done before. And so we're noticing that there's some hits, there's some
That's
resistance.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
And so we get to overcome.
That's now, right. God raises up warriors. He trains our hands to war. He teaches us to bend the bow of bronze. So when there's warfare, it's not a sign that God isn't with us. It's actually a sign that he is, and he's bringing us into something that he's promised.
Exactly. Now, I'm excited about this because this Leviathan spirit that we're going to focus on for a little while because it's assaulting nations
yeah.
and it's assaulting individuals. It says in Isaiah 27, verse 1, in that day the Lord will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent.
Amen.
With his fierce and great and mighty sword. Even Leviathan, the twisted serpent, and he will kill the dragon who lives in the sea. So I think that is a very powerful promise for us.
Yep.
You know, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ actually overcame Leviathan. It says in the scripture, for this purpose, the Son of God was made manifest to destroy the works of the evil one. And so 2,000 years ago, through the finished work of the cross,
right.
through what he did in the grave and his resurrection power, he made an open show of the principalities and powers and destroyed their powers.
Destroy every work of the enemy. He hung on the cross. He said, it's finished. So every work is finished, including Leviathan.
So what we get to do is hide inside of Jesus. Amen?
That's right.
So if you're in spiritual warfare, you hide inside of Jesus and you just go to battle with him to execute what's already been finished. So it's like it's a given win.
Yeah.
And that's how we have to think. It's not, oh no, oh no, we're in warfare. It's like, yay, we've won the battle. Let's go conquer.
And that's Bible. That's 2 Corinthians 2:14. God always leads us in victory. Praise be to the God who always leads us in victory in Christ Jesus. So every single battle we have, God has victory for us in it.
Now, this particular spirit, Robert, we know it twists communication. It even
right.
says in that scripture, it's a twisted serpent, you know, and it twists communication. So you might have discovered recently that, you know, you're sharing with a friend and all of a sudden they come back and say, you said this, you said that. And you think, hello, I never said that. And they'll say, oh, yes, you did. I heard you say it. And you think, how could they hear me say that?
Yeah.
But the thing is, when that serpent is twisting, it can bring chaos and confusion in the area of communication. And
Definitely.
Its goal is to turn people against each other.
That's right.
Ultimately, it's after relationship.
It wants to create division because Leviathan knows, the enemy knows that when we're in unity with God or we're in unity with each other, that we can't be defeated. So the enemy loves to come in and try to create that division through misunderstandings, offenses, so we begin to turn on each other and snipe at each other. Because scripture says when we are one, when we're we're united, God will command his blessing in our midst. And Patricia, when God commands a blessing, nothing can stand against it.
Amen.
So that's why the enemy wants to create division.
Amen. Now, in Job 41, verse 34, it says that Leviathan is actually the king over all the sons of pride. So we see two things here. Number one, he's a king. He's not just a low-level demon. He's a principality. He's a king.
Yes.
And he gets his strength through pride. And in the previous verse, we found that he hides in the sea of humanity, which is our humanness,
right,
our human
right.
nature, our carnal nature. And so oftentimes when Leviathan's at work, you don't even realize it because it just feels like it's part of you. It's part of your thinking. That's why there's rifts in relationship and you think, I'm right. And the other one think, no, I'm right. And then the pride surfaces and then that spirit has more power.
That's right. Yeah, it when we get caught up in our humanity, a lot of times we'll feel totally justified in our wrong responses. But one of the things that we learn is it's one thing to be right, but it's much more important to handle the situation in right ways.
Exactly, exactly. Now, this spirit, because it's a king, it wants to rule. And this spirit knows that you're a king. If you're in Christ, you're a king and a priest. It says in Revelation 1:6, you're a king and a priest unto God. And he knows that you have authority. He wants your authority. He wants to possess and mm-hmm. occupy the territory that you have conquered in Christ with your kingly anointing in Jesus Christ. And he's after that. He's collecting authority because he has none of his own anymore. But he wants your authority. And that's what we have to be very careful not to give him that.
Now, that's right.
I want to address specifically those of you who are watching tonight who are leaders. So you might be a church leader. You might be a business leader, a government leader, anyone in leadership, because a leader carries like a type of kingly anointing. And this spirit will especially hit the kings, especially hit leaders. And so you want to make sure you have a good prayer shield around you, because I really sense in my spirit that some of you have been in some pretty big battles where there's all kind of confusions and rifts in relationship, and you're wondering, this doesn't make sense. And I want to share this story. Robert, we have some friends of ours.
Yes.
I won't mention their names,
yes.
although this is a public knowledge thing.
Yeah.
But they were founders of a church. They founded it from scratch. It grew very large. They bought the property. They laid their life down mm-hmm. for this work. It was an amazing, work of the Lord through them. And then a Leviathan spirit got into the church and started releasing communication against the pastor and his wife. Mm. They would start to try to sort it out. They'd have meeting after meeting with groups of people and individuals, but they come out of these meetings and it was more twisted than it was even in the beginning.
Right.
It was all twisted communication. Eventually, after a couple of years of this, they actually got fired from their own church. And that spirit rose havoc and literally destroyed the church till there was nothing left. There's just a handful of people left. Now, that couple's been restored now mm-hmm. because they handled it right. They went low.
They did.
They prayed. They fought the spiritual battle. And they followed the Lord to regain the victory. But it's a painful process.
Of course.
Now, I believe that there are people watching here right now that you're in that position mm-hmm. right now, actually. And you're wondering, I can't believe what's happening. Like, why is it doesn't make any sense to you. And it won't, because it's a spirit. It's got nothing to do with your natural thinking, your natural mind. It is a spirit. And we're going to help you know, we're going to teach you how to take this out. God has given us five keys for overcoming this spirit. And so we're going to help you with that. And then we'll let you know what's kind of happening on a global scale, how this is raising havoc, especially in media, in government positions, anywhere where there's communication or kings, okay? So we've got about five areas
that we
want to share with them about how to overcome. And the first one is humility.
Humility. And humility, when we go low, it takes this spirit out, because when the spirit gets stirred up, we get caught up in that humanity. We get caught up in that pride of I'm right and what you're doing to me is wrong, and we react and we take offense. But if we're able to go low, if we're able to just humble ourselves, then all of a sudden that helps us connect into the Lord, and it helps us respond rightly, even in situations where we're not being treated well. You know, Job 3:8 makes it clear that one of the things that this spirit stirs up and empowers, it says, those who curse, curses actually stir up and empower Leviathan. So if we get offended, we'll start speaking bad against the other person. And we'll go to someone and say, hey, you won't believe what this person did to me. And we stir up more offense, and we stir up more people speaking poorly against that. And as we curse, the spirit's more empowered, and as it gets more empowered, it can cause more havoc. But if we're willing to go low, yeah. if we're willing to be humble, like C.S. Lewis said, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. If we just die to ourself and commit to kingdom values, we can see the spirit.
And
defeated.
That is one of the keys of successful walking with the Lord.
That's right.
Is walking in humility, embracing the finished work of the cross, being a servant to others. Because it is amazing the way things get twisted. And one of the manifestations of pride is gossip.
Yes, it is.
You know, because once this thing gets started, like let's say that you know, you're in a communication interaction with someone, and then you get offended, and then you go take that offense and tell someone
else.
Then they go and tell someone else. It tells someone else, but it gets more twisted. When this spirit's involved, it gets twisted, more and more twisted every time you share. And I know a lot of people have maybe played that game. I think it's called gossip. You know, we played it when we were kids or at camp and that. But I remember this one time, the first time I played it, I was sending my little message around, and there was about 20 people in the circle. So I whispered to the person next to me, did you know that Joe wore striped pajamas? Something silly like that.
Yeah.
And so that person went and whispered it to the next person, who whispered it to the next person, who whispered it to the next person. By the time it came back around to me, you know what the message was?
No, what was it?
It's a snake, it's a snake, it's a snake.
Oh, my goodness.
And how did you get
that out of
what started?
Yeah.
Now, I mean, that's just sharing about a game, but that is the way this spirit operates. And you cannot trust. When this spirit is operating, you cannot trust what you're hearing even. That's why you have to go low.
When this spirit's operating, it could be something as simple as, like, I could say to you, Patricia, you look really nice this evening. And you could hear that. When the spirit twists it, instead of you hearing the compliment and me trying to build you up, you could take it as, well, does that mean that I don't look nice most days? Are you saying that usually I look terrible? How dare you say that about me? And that's how that spirit will get in and twist. And that's one of the ways you know it's operating. When you're saying the sky is blue and someone's saying, how can you possibly be saying that?
Right. And even sometimes it comes with a look. You don't even have to speak with
words.
Right. The communication can come with a look. I had someone one time phone me like 10 years after the fact, and they said, did you realize? She said, I just had to call you because my therapist told me I had to call you.
Right.
But 10 years ago, you ruined my life. You ruined my life.
Oh, my goodness. She'd been holding on that for 10 years.
No, I didn't even know this woman. You know, I didn't identify her name, but she got my phone number. She said, you ruined my life. I said, oh, I just feel horrible. How did I do that? She says, you don't understand the torment that you've put me through. She said, I've been in a mental hospital.
Oh, my goodness.
A mental institution being treated in and out for 10 years because of what you did.
Oh, my goodness.
And I said, oh, my gosh. I said, what did I do? And she says, well, I came to one of your meetings, and I went up to say hi to you, and you walked right by me, and you purposely rejected me. And she said, I've been rejected by leaders my whole life, but I thought better of you. And when you did it, that was the straw that broke the camel's back, and I've been tormented for 10 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, she thought for 10 years that I purposely rejected her. That was what the twisting was.
Right.
And she was absolutely convinced. And she says, I want to know, I need to know why.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you want to reject me?
Mm.
And I said, I was probably on my way to the bathroom.
Right.
You know?
Right. After a long preach, sometimes that happens.
And I'm a very focused person.
Yes.
So if I'm thinking about what I have to do and get ready and get back in time,
mm-hmm.
I probably, you know, didn't even notice that she was there. I'm not saying that's a good thing.
No.
But her interpretation of that caused her agony for 10 years.
Mm.
And you can see how that spirit will twist even a look.
That's right.
And I've had, you know, many people say, you know, I know that you don't like me because of this, and you pass by me because of that, and you don't care about me, you don't value me. And it's twisted communication.
Exactly, yeah.
But we have to humble ourselves in that and die to ourselves and process well with one another.
Exactly. And okay, so humility is one of the keys to defeating the spirit. What's the next one, Patricia? Is it's love, right?
The next one is, I mean, love, and that's a given, of course.
Of course.
But love believes the best.
That's right.
Love always believes the best. And one of the things that we've been observing in this last little bit as we've observed assault and attack, and you can watch it actually on media. Once your eyes are open to this, you can actually see it even on what's communicated through media, on the internet, on Facebook. You can actually see this spirit at work. It's quite amazing. But in every time the spirit is activated, love
diffuses it.
Is love is challenged.
Yeah.
So the opposite spirit of the resistance to love is loving aggressively, loving deliberately, with intentionality.
Yeah.
And love does believe the best. So in this swirl that we've been noticing recently, mm-hmm. there'll be someone who will be in a conversation, and then after the conversation thinking, you know, you don't honor me, you don't love me, and then it's like then retaliation happens instead of believing the best. Their motives were wrong. They didn't you know, have the right heart for this, mm-hmm. and I know that they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And love would never do that. Love would empower. Love would believe the best.
No
love would
what was
come alongside.
Yeah.
And even if there was an offense, and by the way, love is not offended. It doesn't take up offense.
It keeps no record of having been wronged either.
Yeah, and then if you have offense, you've taken it.
Right, that's right.
Offenses aren't given.
That's right.
They're taken. No one gives you an offense. You know, you can't say, oh, so-and-so offended me. No, if you're offended, you took the offense.
That's right.
But love will diffuse that. And the love war, no matter what we're hearing or what people are saying, if we will love in return and try to process with love, it will, you know, change the world.
It will. And as I just said, 1 Corinthians 13 also says, love keeps no record of having been wrong. So one of the ways you can diffuse the situation, like the one you shared about this poor woman who was in torment for 10 years, if she had simply let go of that, if she'd simply decided, I'm not going to keep a record of where I felt I've been wrong, it would have completely diffused it. She wouldn't have been in torment for 10 years. What she didn't realize is she had the power in love to diffuse that situation. But she held on to this wrong that wasn't even given. She held on to the offense that wasn't even intended. And she ended up having been tormented for all those years, where if she simply had kept no record of having been wrong and chose to believe the best about you, none of that would have happened.
And I find that with love tests, I mean, it wouldn't be a test if you weren't mistreated.
That's
like,
right.
There's legitimate mistreatment that can happen to you. There can be people that are cruel to you. They slander you. They hate you. They despise you. They gossip against you and everything. But the test of love is, how do you respond? How are you responding to that maltreatment? Because love will always go for the very best for the person. They'll forgive. Love will win the battle.
Love always wins.
And I'm not saying to be soft and not confrontational, because love will confront sometimes, but it's always for the good of the person, to empower the person.
That's right. That's right.
Amen. So the third one is really important. In James 1, verse 19, it says that we are to be slow to speak, but quick to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing about this spirit, it triggers that you want to defend yourself with words. But then it twists the words.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're going to battle this spirit, sometimes silence is golden.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's better to say nothing at all and then take the issues to the Lord. Speak to him, because he won't twist it. You know, he knows the heart.
Yes.
And so if we are able to just listen carefully, and I find that a lot of times when we are in conversation, we're not actually hearing what the person's saying. We're hearing our own mind. Well, what am I going to say after they stop talking?
Right.
How am I going to respond to them? How am I going to, you know, how am I going to get the next word in?
How can I make my point?
How am I going to make my point on this? But to overcome this spirit, it takes good listening skills, because what is the person really trying to say?
Right.
And if we don't know for sure, we can ask them, okay, I really want to understand your heart.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like you're saying this. Is that what you're saying? Or can you help me unpack that?
Yeah.
You know, can you help me understand your heart better?
Yeah.
And most people, if they know that they're being listened to, you know, will then open up. It diffuses the spirit
away. If you know you're being heard, if you really feel like you're being heard, even if there's a disagreement at the end, there doesn't have to be division, because you can say, well, I know you heard me, and I appreciate that you listened. So, and the interesting thing about all these is how well they work together. When you, even talking about listening, you need the humility and the love to be a good listener, so that your goal in listening is, I want to understand what you're saying more than I want to make myself understood.
Right. And you know, if we'll become good listeners, we'll learn so much, because we have such limited understanding in our own framework of thinking. And if we listen to another person, we can actually find another side of things. And I think for me, one of the things that I have to be very careful of is when you're busy and there's that sense of what we call urgency panic, you know, when you got to come up with the answer right away, or you're in a situation where things have to be communicated right away. Sometimes they're not communicated carefully enough, and we're not listening enough. So that's another area to be watchful of.
Yes.
Okay, the fourth area is the decree of the word of God. And again, in Isaiah 27,
right. It
says that it's his fierce, it's his mighty, it's his awesome sword, right? And the sword of God is the word of God.
That's right. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God, and we can wield it to exact vengeance on the enemy. When we feel this spirit kicking up, or any spirit really, all we need is to get a promise from God, a scripture from God. And as we declare that truth, we will see the head of the enemy cut off. And one of the things with Leviathan specifically that I think is wonderful is we can, you know, it wants to create division between people and offense and misunderstanding between people. So one of the best things that you can do is seek the word of the Lord for blessings, to bless that person. Start declaring blessings over that person. Start declaring how God sees them, the favor God has for them, blessings God has for them, provision God has for them. If we'll use the word of God to bless one another, it will nullify the effect of Leviathan, because we'll plug into the heart of God and feel that love for that person, and all of a sudden, all we want is the very best for them.
Awesome. I love it. And the other thing is the decree of the word of God. And we love decrees in our ministry. In fact, I've got a whole book called Decree. And it's decree a thing and it will be established. It's decrees that can transform your world. But when you're in warfare, your word is your sword. And you can send that word out. It doesn't return void.
That's
it accomplishes
right. Everything
it's sent to do. And one of the scriptures that I love to decree is, no weapon formed against me will prosper. Every tongue that rises up against me in judgment, I condemn. And you can take that and you can decree that word over your life, over your family. You can decree words like Psalm 5:12, the Lord surrounds me with favor as a shield. You can decree words like Psalm 24 that says the King of Glory. Who is the King of Glory? He is the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle, and he is battling for me and on my behalf right now. And this spirit is under my feet, that the Lord has given me power over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall injure me. You know, Luke 10:19. So you can take the word and begin to make those decrees, and that word goes out in the spirit, and the Lord honors that word, and it goes and slays the operation of that spirit in our midst.
Amen. Amen. And now, so the fifth weapon against this spirit, Patricia, is praise and worship. And what I love about this is you had said in Isaiah 27, it says that this is the king of the pride, or that was in Job,
the
kings of the sons of pride. And when we start worshiping God, scripture tells us that he's enthroned on the praises of his saints. So we start praising God, we start worshiping God, and all of a sudden we're inviting the king of glory into the situation. And the king of glory is the Lord Almighty, the Lord invincible in battle. When you're getting into one of these situations, one of these battles, one of the greatest weapons you have is to begin praising God, begin worshiping God, and you watch the King of Glory, who is invincible in every battle, who is the God of breakthroughs, is going to show up and bring breakthrough for you.
And the thing I love about praise and worship, Robert, is that when we praise Jesus, we're not thinking about the devil.
Right.
We're thinking about God's muscularity.
That's right.
We're thinking
That's
about
right.
his power,
yes.
his might, his greatness, his exaltation. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the mighty warrior above all else. So when we focus on him in our praise, in our worship, in our adoration, in our love for him, then that releases light that expels the darkness.
That's right.
And when you're in a state of praise, you can't be attacked and in praise at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
And praise will actually release the opening for your escape from anything. It's just an amazing tool.
As we praise, we're reminded who our God is. And as we're reminded of who he is, our faith increases, our fear goes away, and all of a sudden we have expectation. Like even today, I mean, you can hear in my voice, I woke up ever since this morning, I've been battling laryngitis. And isn't it interesting, we're doing a show on Leviathan, who comes against communication. But I just started praising God and thanking God for what we're going to get to do in media today. And I tell you what, when we know our God and we know he's the Lord of victory, we not only expect victory, we expect the spoils. So I'm expecting overcoming this. This message is going to go out and it's going to shift things,
Absolutely.
Not just in our lives, but for every life out there.
Absolutely. And your voice sounds tremendous.
Amen.
It's awesome. It's
Amen.
Strong. It's anointed.
Amen.
It's awesome. Amen. Now, we know that this spirit is trying to take territory. And what I'm sensing for many of you that are watching right now, and those of you in our studio audience right now, is that there has been assaults against your life and against your territory. And you're probably identifying them right now, maybe even relationships in your family, in your home, in the workplace, in your church or ministry, in your school, you know, and you're thinking, oh my gosh, I didn't even realize that this swirl, this chaos, this confusion, this riff that is between us wasn't even flesh and blood battle. It's a principality. It's a demonic spirit. Now, once your eyes are open to that, you realize, I'm going to take back my territory. I'm going to take back what the enemy stole. And you know, David, when he went into Ziklag and he saw just all the spoils,
right. He
said, Lord, what do I do? He was overcome by the disaster.
Everything had been taken.
Everything. It was just a mess. I mean, he was hurt by that.
Yeah.
But he went to the Lord and he said, what's the answer? And the Lord said, pursue, overtake, and recover all.
That's
and
it.
I speak that into you
Amen.
Right now, that you're going to pursue, overtake, and recover all. That there's this lion on the inside of you, the lion of the tribe of Judah, that's going to rise up and take it all back. And we have a prophetic word that I want to read to you right now from Steve Porter. And by the way, these prophetic words, we're just going to give you some of the word. The full word you can find on the Gifts for You section. The links to those words will take you to xpmedia.com, where the full word is, either written or in video format. And they're amazing words. But let me reread this. He says, God is the God of the turnaround. He says, I am the God of the turnaround. For some time now, you've been asking me when things are going to turn around, when the winds of change are going to start blowing, when the winds of favor will head your way. Well, the time is now, and I'm going to begin to restore everything that the locust has eaten, or we could say everything that Leviathan has taken.
That's right.
Right? It's time for your turnaround. This is not a time to fold your hands and fall asleep. It's a time to decree and declare that you have victory through me. So ask me today for your turnaround. And what I was sensing for you when I was praying is that today is a shift for you. Right now, as you're listening to this word. In fact, your warfare has ended. Oftentimes, when you just catch the thief in the act, the moment you catch that thief in the act, the moment you identify him, he has to restore sevenfold that which he took. And the scripture says, you go plunder his house. So it is your turnaround season. You're going to get everything back. If that spirit came in and destroyed anything, I declare that you're getting it all back.
You know, we have a word from Barbara Yoder as well, Patricia, and she says this in the word. The Lord says, I am going to restore in this season fortunes that were lost in previous generations or previous seasons in your life. I'm restoring lost fortunes. I'm restoring lost opportunities. I'm restoring whatever belonged to you that it's been taken from you. Come on now.
Come
so
on.
Anything that you look at, not
Come
just
on.
In the recent days or in your past, but anything in your generations, anything in your bloodlines that the enemy has come against and stolen, now is the time to rise up like David at Ziklag,
yeah.
Be strengthened in the Lord, and you go after, you overtake, and you ask the Lord with expectation to restore everything that's been stolen from you.
Amen. Now, on the Gifts for You tab, just under your screen, at the end of the program, we have some gifts that we want to give to you. In fact, I think there's three free downloads for you of awesome messages that will build your spirit. We just want to give those to you as a gift. Also on that page, we have the links of these prophetic words in their entirety, where you can listen to them, watch them, read them. They're all there for you. That's our gift to you, is to be able to provide that media, make it available for you. But we also have some product on there that you can purchase from our store. And I want to feature this one. It's called The Serpent and the Soul by Katie Sousa. And this is a course about the enemy, the
yes.
serpent and the soul,
yes.
how we can get free from the things that entangle our soul. And it does allude to Leviathan warfare and gives a lot more tips. It's a great teaching.
It's an outstanding
teaching. In fact, all of Katie's are good. I just
yeah.
love Katie. Another one that you might be interested in is Divine Union. This is Decrees for a Heavenly Marriage. This Leviathan spirit
mm-hmm.
has been getting into marriages, believe it or not. You know, it is trying to break up the union
yes.
that is in homes and families by attacking married couples. This book, which Robert Hodgkin wrote, is just absolutely awesome. It's a great book. It's got decrees in it for your marriage, that you can decree the word of God, decree the truth over your marriage, and build a really strong foundation for your home and family. And then, of course, Create Your World book. I've got a CD here. I think it's called Slaying Your Giants. Here we are, Slaying Your Giants. And Robert's CD on victory. Do you want to share, because that's out of Joshua 1, isn't it?
Sure. This CD on victory, it's going to teach you how to live in the victory that you already have through the finished work of the cross. And I give testimonies, I give teaching, I share revelation. But what it's really all about is helping you come to understand that in every battle you have, God is with you and He is fighting for you. One of the mistakes we often make, Patricia, is we think if we're in a battle that God's not with us. But He makes it very clear in Joshua 1 that in the battles, He's not only there, but He'll give us victory. He says to Joshua, much like we're all going through right now, you're in a new season. I'm bringing you into a new level of manifestation of all my promises, and there will be the enemy coming against you, but none can stand because I will be with you.
Now, in the second half of our program, we're going to talk about ISIS and about terrorism and what God has to say about that. But right now, we want to take you to an advertisement for Women on the Front Lines World Convention that's coming up in just a little while. You know, just around 2 weeks from now, we will be engaging in that very historical event. So we'll be right back.
It's happened before. Revival fires fell. The presence of Almighty God swept over the earth and released massive waves of miracles, healings, signs, and wonders, setting hearts on fire.
The Lord thy God has set me free. The glory be to God.
This is an hour of restoration.
Among the Catholics, the Protestants.
Let the glory of thy presence be felt.
This great outpouring of the Holy Ghost, I believe the word of God.
Thousands of angels of the temple have been healed.
It is happening again. 22 speakers unite at the historic Angelus Temple to relight the revival fires and release an atmosphere of miracles, signs, and wonders. It's time for you to arise and be a woman on the front lines.
His love is a fire!
Woohoo!
Woo!
Yeah! Wow! Come on! That is going to be amazing. I can hardly wait to get there. And we just want to encourage you to sign up for that now. You can register online. If you cannot make it in person, in fact, we don't have many spots left. We're almost full. But if you can't make it in person, for sure sign up for the webcast. It is going to be a historical event. God is releasing mantles, apostolic mantles, for when we're going to that portal where, seven mountains of influence were definitely influenced through Amy Semple McPherson and the Angelus Temple, the work done there. We want to see you there. It's going to be amazing.
Patricia, another thing that we have for everybody is we want to make sure you know about the Israel tour. We've got this amazing Women on the Front Lines Israel tour coming up that Patricia is going to be leading with Katie Souza, Carol Cook, and Joan Hunter. So, women of God, you can go with these amazing women of God, and men of God, I want you to know, you're welcome too, and it's going to be an amazing tour, so you're going to want to check this out. They're going to go to different places where God met with His people and empowered them. Places like where the woman grabbed hold of the hem of Jesus' garment and His virtue flowed out and changed her life forever. We're believing, just like at Women on the Front Lines at our World Convention in L.A., that on this tour, God is going to release things into the earth to ignite His children and send them out to change history.
Now, in a little while, we're going to be sharing with you just about what the Lord's been revealing about ISIS. But before we do that, I want to share a prophetic word that the Lord's been giving me over just this last week about replenishment, about replenishing what you're giving out. And it's just an amazing download. And I want you to start activating it because there's going to be awesome miracles for you on your behalf and through you in this word. So let me give you an example. What the Lord showed me is about the loaves and the fishes, okay? We all know the story. There was 5,000 people who were hungry. Jesus said to His disciples, they're hungry, give them something to eat. Their response was, we don't have anything to feed them and we don't have enough money to buy the food for them. And Jesus more or less said, hey, wrong answer. That's not the answer I'm looking for. But He said, well, tell me what you have. Don't tell me what you don't have. tell me what you have. And that's a good word for many of you right now. Don't look at what you don't have. Look at what you do have. What is in your hand? And so they brought back these five little loaves, little lunch rolls, and two little fish. And they said, this is what we have. And Jesus, he took that which was provided, which, I mean, in the natural, you would have looked at that and the 5,000 people and think, hey, that's not going to happen, you know. But he took it and he lifted it up to heaven. He lifted up. He looked to heaven. And that's what God wants you to do in this hour, because the economy of the kingdom is going to be always good. It's always good. No matter what happens in the world, because there's shakings in the world and there will continue to be shakings in the world. But in the kingdom, he's got us established in him for increase and for blessing. So he takes it, he lifts it up into the heavens and he blesses it. Now, do not curse your provision. Mm, that's right. Do not. It's a word from the Lord right now. Some of you have been saying, I don't have enough. I never have enough. I can't make it. It's not working. Those are curse words. Mm. And those curse words give the enemy a landing strip. And it brasses over the heaven for you so that the miracle realm cannot open up. But Jesus didn't go there. He just saw what he had. He looked up to heaven and he blessed it. The Lord wants you to bless what is in your hands. Then he took it. Now look at what happened here. He takes it, the loaves and the fishes, he divides it up again between his 12 disciples. I'm assuming there's 12 because there's 12 baskets left over. Now, if you take five little lunch loaves and some fish, it's not going to be much in a person's hand to give out for 12 people. No. So he goes and gives it to them and he says, now you go give it out. So they would give it to one person. They would take what they wanted. Then he goes to the next one. And everyone has it. But what happened was the miracle of replenishment. I want you to listen to that word. This is the word of the Lord. The miracle of replenishment. God replenished what was given out. He gave it back. As soon as it was given out, it was filled up again, given out, filled back again. He was replenishing. It wasn't that a whole truckloads of, you know, fish and bread came to feed the multitude. No, it was just a replenishment as they gave out. Somewhere along the line, though, as they were being replenished, they hit a tipping point. And then it started to increase and it started to multiply. At the end of that feeding program, Robert, they had fed 5,000 people.
That's incredible.
Now, if you were to cater for 5,000 people today, you know, you're looking
at truckloads of food.
You're looking at $100,000 at least, probably, to feed that many people. So let's say they actually had $100,000 worth of food that they gave out just by having it replenished, just by giving what was in their hand, and they were able to feed a multitude that would have had, like, you know, in our day, maybe $100,000 price tag on it. But not only that, when they finished, they had more than what they started with.
That's incredible.
They had more than the five loaves and the fish. They had increased. So they increased of what they gave out, but also what they were able to reach. The Lord is giving us the opportunity to live such big kingdom lives in this season. And that if we will have kingdom mindset, we can reach the whole world. The whole world isn't too big for us to reach. You know, back in that day it was 5,000. What are we going to do to feed 5,000 people? But what about today, with the body of Christ filling the earth? We could say we could meet the needs of the whole earth. If they're hungry, we can meet their needs. We can meet their spiritual needs. We can meet, you know, if they're hungry, we can give them food. If they're in prison, we can visit them. We have the power and the ability to meet the needs of the whole world.
Amen.
In global outreach.
Amen.
Today.
That's right.
And the way it's going to happen is not by waiting for our ship to come in. I hear this all the time. People say, well, you know, when I get an inheritance or when I win the lottery or whatever, then I'm going to give.
Yeah.
But no, what is in your hand right now?
Yeah.
And there is an increase coming. Many of you have wondered where your increase is, but you haven't seen the miracle that is before you. Now, in this last couple of weeks, I have seen the miracles take place.
Right.
Because we've been sowing into our building project and into some other things, even in our personal life, different needs and helping some people out. And I remember one day I emptied all the money out of my purse to give to a need that was there. It was just what was in my hand.
Right.
It was what was in my purse, everything in my purse.
Yep.
I gave it out, everything.
Yep.
I just went in there and dug into it and gave it all out, gave it away. It wasn't even a couple hours later, I go into my purse to get something and I notice there's this big wad of money in there. I don't know where it came from.
That's awesome.
I don't know where it came from.
That's fantastic.
You know, and I don't have to know.
No.
I just know that God is good.
Yes.
And another thing, I gave an offering into our building fund, you know, and because we are building a building. And by the way, anytime you want to sow into it, that's awesome, because the Lord showed me that every time I give right. into that building fund, it's going to be given back. Not only replenished what I give out, but also I'm going to get blessed in houses, lands.
That's fantastic.
You know, it's awesome. It's just the way God is. But what was amazing is after I gave out, I've been writing a lot of checks this one mm-hmm. particular week, and I thought, wow, you know, that I better check my bank account because right. it could be low. I went in there. It was the same water level. It was the
That's
same
awesome.
Level of balance after I'd given out all this money. And so the word of the Lord to you is replenishment. Just like the widow at Zarephath, she was cursing her provision
mm-hmm.
because
right.
she only had a little bit of flour and oil left. And she said, I'm going to eat this. I'm going to make a little cake, and my son and I are going to eat it, and then we're going to die.
Right.
Now, that's a pretty big self-curse,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But Elijah said, no, make me a cake first, and then you can eat.
Mm-hmm.
And she did that, and it kept replenishing through the whole drought. Same with the woman with the cruse of oil.
Mm-hmm.
Her sons were going to be taken away from her because the creditors made demand on them. But the prophet said, no, just take the little bit that you have, the little oil that you have,
yep.
borrow some vessels, and pour in. And every time she poured in, it would replenish.
Mm.
She poured in the next one, it would replenish. She was able to pay off all her debt as it got replenished, as she kept pouring it out into the next vessel. God is going to give you insight. I tell you, the body of Christ is coming into
yes.
provisional blessing in this hour, like we've never come into it before. Start expecting replenishment. And I want to give you an opportunity right now actually to sow into the Word of God, to sow into prophetic ministry, and to sow into global outreach.
Yeah.
We are committed as a ministry to reaching the nations of the Word with the Word of God 24/7 through media, through missions, through outreach. And we're asking for your help to do that. But as you step out tonight to feed the multitudes, as you step out and say, well, I've got this in my hand right now, I'm going to go sow that, I guarantee you, according to the word that God has given us, that it'll be replenished.
Yes.
And that you'll start feeding the multitudes, but it'll be replenished, and then you'll come into a place where you can be fruitful, multiplied, increase. It's going to be amazing. So you can go online right now and give generously to global outreach. This is our time to literally bring light into the darkness
all around the world,
and just see a great harvest of souls come in. Amen.
You know, Patricia, in agreement with what you're saying, one of the mistakes we often make is we do wait until we have enough to give. But God actually gives you an enrichment strategy in 2 Corinthians 9, where it says, He'll give you many opportunities to do good and will produce a great harvest of generosity in you, and in that you will be enriched. So as we embrace God's opportunities to give, as we embrace God's opportunities for us to be generous, we keep waiting for the harvest of generosity to come to us. God wants to bring it through us.
Amen.
Because as we give, then all of a sudden He's enriching us.
Amen. And I am so excited about what's going to happen in your life. And we want to thank you for your generosity, because as a ministry, we can't do it without partnership. God never had just one person do it all. He has a body together, that together we create a environment for the gospel to be preached and for Jesus to be exalted. So I want to thank you for your generosity, and pray about partnering with us
yes.
as well. If you want to become Breaker Team partners, we would love to have you in our family. And we love our partners. And by the way, I want to say hello to all of our partners that are in the studio right now, but also those of you that are watching online. We love you big time. Okay, now, Johnny Enlow.
Yeah, I want to read this word from Johnny Enlow, because it's all about this increase. And Johnny Enlow's word in 2015 is that four winds, God is going to release four winds that will be blowing in 2015. There'll be winds of worship, winds of wisdom, winds of wealth, and winds of wonder. And he said that we're going to get double for our trouble. And isn't it interesting that every one of those winds is a W?
Yeah.
In other words, God is
double
going to
you.
Double you. And he says, double for your trouble. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor, and instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Now, we've got the full word for you, of this full word on our the tabs, all the words that we're releasing. You can read the full prophetic words, and of course, also get the free gifts for you. But so Johnny Enlow's got this four winds word for 2015 of what God's releasing into the earth to bring us into a double.
Wow, I love it. I love it. And I love Johnny Enlow's ministry and a lot of the prophets that we host on xpmedia.com. They're amazing. And you can feast. If you have not been on xpmedia.com, we just want you to tell all your friends about it and use it because it's there to feed your spirit. That's why that network is there, to feed your spirit, especially with prophetic words and apostolic teachings. It's an awesome network. Tell your friends about it. Now, we want to share tonight about ISIS and what the Lord is saying about ISIS, because this is an issue today. God is giving us invitation to come into a whole new level of kingdom authority, operative authority in the spirit realm. You know, it's good to operate our authority when praying, you know, for financial needs or for a health need or whatever. That's all good. Praying for your aunt's sore big toe or whatever. That's all good. We want to do more of that. But
we're given dominion authority in all the earth.
Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 18, he said, "Behold, all authority in heaven and in earth has been given to me. Go ye therefore and make disciples of the nations and teach them, command them to follow me, to obey what I've taught you." And so what we want to do is touch on this, because ISIS looks like a pretty big issue.
Now it does.
And you think, okay, how could I as a believer touch ISIS? I'm going to reveal to you what the Lord showed me prophetically just over a week ago. But before I do that, I want to give you a bit of a backdrop, because about a year and a half ago, we were over in Israel. When we were in Israel, at the same time we're there, there's this tumult there. There's this tension, this political tension, as often is over there. But the American military was in the ocean. The different leaders of nations were talking about Third World War is going to break out. Different leaders of various nations were going to give support to it as well. And it was a major tension.
So in the natural, it looked like it was escalating.
Many prophets were even prophesying the launching of the Third World War.
Yeah.
I was in my hotel room, and the Spirit spoke very clearly. He said, "I want you to stop the Third World War. I want you to stop the Third World War." Now, I'd never been asked to stop a Third World War before. He said, "It is not my purpose. It is not my desire for this war to break out. Yep. I want you to stop it." And I asked him, I said, "How do I stop it?" And it was just silence for a while. But then I realized, well, he just told me to stop it, so I'm going to make decrees.
There you go.
So I made decrees. And, you know, you feel small in yourself. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you think of a Third World War and the Lord comes with a word saying, "Stop the Third World War," you think, "Are you kidding? Like me? Are you, you know?"
Like Gideon, little old me?
Yeah, like, really? But you see, he wants you to know the greatness of who he is in you, because you're bigger than you think. Mm-hmm. And you can affect and influence this world more than you think. And so I made the decrees. I contacted my friend Steve Schultz at the Elijah List. I put out a prayer directive, put it out through xpmedia.com as well. And we had Christians all around the world coming into agreement. Well, do you know, in 72 hours, the whole thing dissipated?
That's incredible.
And I know that there were many people that God was alerting around the world to stop the Third World War. The reason I'm bringing that up is you can stop ISIS. You can stop terrorism.
Come on.
You have the power. Christ
That's
in
right.
you. He's the King of glory. He's the Lord strong and mighty. He's the Lord mighty in battle. He is the captain of the host of the army of heaven.
Loses.
And he annihilated the enemy 2,000 years ago, and he's inviting us now to do it globally. Now, it might seem big to us, but it's what
the
Lord
is
asking for. Yeah. He's bigger, and he's asking for it. So that was one thing. And then another example was just recently. As you know, we've been having this outbreak of the Ebola virus.
It
came last spring, and it started spreading like wildfire all through Western Africa and into different places. And so this last fall, I was in Australia at the time, actually, and I thought, wow, we're supposed to be going to Ghana to do some ministry, but the U.S. had put quarantines on anyone who had been to Ghana. Anyone who went into Ghana was going to be quarantined for 3 weeks or more when they came back into the USA
because of the
Ebola virus. And I thought, wow, this is going to be an issue for us, because if we go there and we're quarantined, how are we we going to do our schedule after we get back? And the Lord spoke to me and he said, I want you to stop that plague. I want you to annihilate that virus. And again, it's kind of like just a minute. This is a world epidemic and you're asking me to stop. He said, that's what I'm about.
Right.
That's what I came to do, is to bring light into the darkness. Now, I'd never thought of stopping a plague before, but the Lord said to do it. It was just a word. It came to my heart. And so in the spirit, and I realize that some of you that are watching might find this a little bit out there, but in the spirit, the Lord took me into Ghana in the spirit, and I was soaring over Ghana, and I began to make decrees in the spirit over the nation, saying, the Lord is a fire around you, his glory in the midst of you, and this Ebola virus, you will die. You will die, and you will dissipate, you will come to nothing. Ghana will be free from the Ebola virus.
Amen.
So I did it, and I can't honestly say I felt like there was any like lightnings from heaven come down or anything like that, but I did have this release of faith. I thought, well, that was cool, and it was very easy. It was like very easy. So it was a couple nights later, I told my husband what had happened. A couple nights later, he Skypes me and he said, Patricia, did you see the news? He said, they've got these reports that the Ebola virus is now stopping. People are getting healed and there's less incidents, and
it's awesome.
Just happened overnight. And I thought, well, the whole thing's going to come down and this quarantine is going to be lifted. Sure enough, that's what happened. So we are free to go into the nation. We don't have to be quarantined.
That's fantastic.
Well, the next nation was Mali. We were also going to Mali, and just in the beginning of January, I thought, wow, we better take care of that because it's in trouble now with all the Ebola virus, and it's also being quarantined coming back in the States. And the Lord said, do the same thing. We did it, and on January the 15th, they lifted the quarantine, and we're totally free to go in.
Awesome.
Now, what God was showing me, he's just mentoring me, and he wants to mentor you to think that, to know that you're bigger than you actually are. Mm-hmm. It's like not about you, flesh and blood. It's about you in Christ. You are a heavenly being living in the earth, and God wants you to take care of some issues, because if we don't do it, Robert,
that's right,
no one else is going
to
do
it. And you know, Jesus modeled this to us with the Roman centurion. Jesus, many people that Jesus healed, he laid hands on, but with the Roman centurion, he sent forth the word, and the centurion's servant was healed. Well, if the Lord can send forth the word and heal one and eradicate a virus in a body, why can't he send forth the word through us, through you, to eradicate a virus in the earth? It's the exact same principle.
Amen.
It's the exact same God. Ebola was conquered at the cross. We just need to execute and legislate
Amen.
That authority in the earth.
Now, tonight, I believe there's a shift in the spirit coming for you when you're going to start thinking on a bigger level.
Yes.
You're going to start seeing things on a global level, and you're going to see your authority that you have in Christ Jesus, which he has seated at the right hand of the Father. He's asking you to take that authority and execute it in the earth towards these things, and that shift is going to come into your mind. You're going to start thinking differently now. Okay, now, ISIS.
ISIS.
ISIS. It was less than 3 weeks ago. The Lord spoke to me clearly two things. He said, first of all, he said, ISIS is coming down. ISIS is going to be conquered.
Come on.
ISIS will be conquered. This is good news.
Yes.
This is good news. Now, he also said, I'm not saying terrorism is going to be completely annihilated yet, but ISIS is coming down. The sense that I have is there's going to be a coalition of military strategy from more than one nation that is going to come, and there's going to be a partnership to take it out. So you will read about it in the news. It's going to be seen. I'm not sure the timing, but we have to pray into it.
Yes.
Because once you know the will of God, you make the decrees and you pray into it. But I know that I know that I know that it's coming down, and its
Amen.
Advancement is going to stop, and it's up to us to stop it in Jesus' name. Amen. The other thing that Lord told me at the same time, he said, I am going to rescue people out of ISIS because they're trapped in
there.
And they are being tormented. You see, we're not dealing with flesh and blood.
Right.
This is a spirit. This is a king of the sons of pride at work here. This is a spirit of terror. This is a spirit that is just so demonic, and it's deceiving people, flesh and blood people, to go inside of that deception and use them for demonic purposes.
Yes.
We have to pray for them. They They are being dragged into this, and if we don't intercede for them, they won't get out. And so we have to launch intercession for those that are in there because they're being deceived. Their minds are being deceived.
I actually believe one of the things that's going to empower us to tear down the spirit is caring about the people who are under the control of the spirit. Because that the word rebuke, when Jesus would rebuke a demon, that word in the Greek is epitomio. And it has two distinct meanings. One is to value greatly. The other is basically to hold in disdain. And I asked the Lord once, how can one word mean two diametrically opposed things? And he said, the key to operating in the fullness of my authority and rebuking spirits is to greatly value the person the spirit is affecting, but hold the spirit in disdain. And then we can inhabit the authority, make that declaration, and see that spirit absolutely defeated.
I love it. It's just awesome. Now, the Lord said, I'm going to deliver people out of this stronghold. And he said, watch for the 6 o'clock news because you're going to see the report and they are going to expose it for what it really is. Do you know that just a few nights ago, and less than a week ago, my husband and I were watching the 6 o'clock news, exactly what the Lord had said. And there was someone that had come out of ISIS. He had fled from it successfully. He told a story. It was difficult to get out of there. He said, it's like a prison.
Oh,
it's
wow.
dark when you're in there. He says, you are told when you go in, it's going to be this community. It's going to be caring. You're fighting for a good cause. You're deceived into thinking. But when you're in there, it's pure hell.
Oh.
And there he was, just as the Lord said, prophetically, there he was on the 6 o'clock news telling the story. And the Lord said, just as I delivered him, I'm going to deliver many. And I want to encourage you to pray. And make decree. Start decreeing. ISIS is done.
Amen.
It is finished.
Amen.
ISIS has lost in Jesus' name. Because we're talking about a spirit here. We're
not
talking about flesh and blood. And start calling out the deliverance of those who are deceived by that spirit. Now, the Lord didn't say that terrorism itself was going to be annihilated. It's just this one thing. He said, I want you to target this. And he said, there are going to be other groups, terrorist groups, they're going to be popping up all over the place. And ISIS, by the way, isn't just in the Middle East.
Right.
ISIS is here in the United States, in Canada, in England, the UK. It's like got little cells and members everywhere that are hidden. So when you're praying, make your decrees to destroy in every nation, not just the Middle East.
That's right.
Because there's this spreading, there's these little cells all over the place, and God's going to take them all out. When you get the strong man, you spoil the whole house.
That's right.
The goods.
Yep.
And so we're going to get the goods. Now, Jesus said that I give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on the earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on the earth shall be loose in heaven. He needs us to do it in the earth.
That's
People say, why is God allowing terrorism?
He's not.
He's not. We are.
We are.
We are.
That's right.
And so we have to take the authority. And God wants us to rise up in this hour and live. I mean, we're going to be the terrorists against the enemy. Amen?
We're going
to terrorize him.
Yes.
And he's going to flee. Even Leviathan, as we mentioned
earlier,
he's called the fleeing serpent.
That's right.
Because he's terrorized by the church and the authority. When he looks at us, he sees Jesus in his might and his muscularity. And he's going to flee. And we cannot be afraid. You know, we cannot be afraid because that's what this spirit, every time we fear that spirit, we're giving it its breakfast
food.
Right. We have to be bold and strong against it.
And you know, one of the things to encourage all of you in this is remember, there was a time when Saul was a terrorist, when he was persecuting the church, where he was killing Christians. He was there when Stephen was stoned to death, but the church prayed and a shift happened. And Saul was rescued out of being an oppressor of Christians and became the great apostle of grace.
Amen.
So church, if we pray, we can see every one of these precious ones delivered out from under the spirit of ISIS and see ISIS destroyed. And as we see that happen, we'll become like David, where we see God with us, with the lion, with the bear, so that the next giant of terrorism that pops up its head, we'll just think, well, this one's coming down too.
Amen. Amen. And we're going to get it. This is an hour when the church is going to rise up triumphant, but we have to learn how to fight. He's training our hands
That's
for
right.
battle, our fingers
That's
for
right.
war, and it's like we're going to rise up strong in this hour, and I'm very, very excited about it.
Now, Patricia, you talked about how widespread ISIS is, and we actually have a prophetic word from Matt Sorger, and Matt said this in his prophetic word, there are ISIS and terrorist groups on American soil already. Pray. The Lord will uncover and expose demonic plots and cut them off before they happen.
Amen.
So here's another prophetic voice saying, yes, there's terrorism in the earth, but you know what, church? Pray. We have the power in Christ to see these things defeated.
And we have to shift our mindset. We have to believe the word of God when he says you're the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. So when we hear these reports over the 6 o'clock news, the 10 o'clock news,
that's
whatever,
right,
that we don't go into fear and say, oh no, isn't it terrible what's happening in the world? But we know that we have power over these forces and that we can go in there and make a difference. Our light belongs in the darkness and we are going to see Jesus exalted in it.
Terror wants to stir up fear, but if we choose faith instead of fear, we will see victory.
Amen. Now, we have some questions that we've collected already from Facebook and from our studio audience here on these very subjects that we're going to give you an opportunity to even go on the chat roll if you want and, you know, let us know about your questions. We might have time to answer them directly on the air right now, or if not, we can maybe answer them later. But we already have some questions that have come in, Robert, on these subjects that we've covered tonight. What are they?
Here's one on the Leviathan spirit, Patricia. What is an example of the Leviathan spirit in operation on a global scale, and how do we pray to impact it?
Well, wow. Okay, so according to what we've shared earlier in the program, with this Leviathan spirit being the king of the sons of pride, and that he's twisting communication and out to destroy relationships, you can see how he's moving globally.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
One of the areas is you know, just the whole thing of media.
Yes.
Those of you that are in media have probably noted that this Leviathan assault has been pretty brutal because it tries to twist things and throw things in your way that can distract you and things like that. So definitely media itself has,
yes,
to be watched over. And some of the things, even regarding sexuality today,
right,
like, you know, we're going to talk about that next time. But in the whole thing with pedophilia,
mm-hmm,
homosexuality, the thing itself now with 50 Shades of Grey,
right, right,
that sort of thing.
S&M,
like, it's really twisting and perverting through media mindsets, and this is on a global level. So that's how that spirit gets in, is trying to communicate things that will shift the thinking of culture away from the Word of God. So that's one way.
That's right.
Another thing is with this whole thing of ISIS, I believe definitely that there is a Leviathan spirit,
yes,
because it kills, it twists, it destroys, it strangles, it brings chaos and terror. And it curses.
It does.
And so I really think that that's one of the area. And then when heads of nations start coming against each other,
yes,
and they start, you know, like you can see it in the news, like even right now, we've got some things,
right,
that are current where you've got the leaders and especially regarding Israel, there's this twisted thinking about even where Israel should be, stationed, how it,
right,
should be protected or how it should not be protected. There's such confusion about it and such twistedness about it. So we need to pray to bind the spirit of Leviathan,
yes,
and to release the spirit of truth and pray for humility,
yes,
pray for love, pray that even the leaders, the kings of nations, will be quick to hear and slow to speak.
That's right.
You know, because, you know, oftentimes when politicians especially speak things out, then the enemy can take that, twist it, and make a federal case out,
yes,
of it, and it turns out to be something that it never was intended to be. So, I mean, those are some of the things we can make decrees of the Word of God. Praise the Lord in these circumstances,
yeah,
and cover our government leaders in that.
And from a place of praise, we can do all those five things. You know, I think about King Jehoshaphat and how he had three armies pressing in on him and it looked like an impassable battle. And he cried out to God, Lord, what do I do? How can we possibly stand against this? And the prophet came and said, the battle is not yours, it's the Lord. You simply take your position. So the next day, King Jehoshaphat and the people went out, took their position, worshiped God, declared who he was, that he was with them, and God moved, and the enemy actually destroyed itself. So as we do that, as we worship, we can actually see God. It makes a place for God to come in and cause the enemy to destroy himself. So the army of Leviathan might battle the army of corruption or the army of perversion, and they might end up destroying themselves.
I love it. I love it. And I think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. Okay, here's another one, Patricia. what are the ways to minister to those who come out of ISIS into the kingdom of God?
Wow.
How can we help them? How can we minister to them? How should we be praying for them?
And you know what? We need to call forth ministries right now to be prepared by the Spirit of God, because they're going to start coming out. The thing is, they've been programmed, demonically programmed. They're in deception.
That's right.
They've been wounded. You don't belong to a cult like that without being abused.
Yes.
Okay, so they have suffered emotional abuse, mental abuse, physical abuse, oftentimes sexual abuse. And so they are an abused people. So we need people raised up to minister to them. How are we going to reach them? We have to pray right now. And I think media is one way that we can reach them. And, you know, I just want to say right now that you might be watching this right now and you think, wow, I came out of ISIS, because maybe you saw the subject line on an email and you thought, well, I just came out of ISIS. Let me see. God loves you with an everlasting love. He really does. And it wasn't his heart for you to be trapped inside of that deception. He wants you free, and he wants you to know him. He wants you to be delivered from that deception, filled with his love, and live a full life. And so in the name of Jesus, I call you free, and just know that he's knocking on the door of your heart, and just open up your heart, invite him to come in, and he will be your savior, and he will be your Lord. And if that word is speaking to you, please feel free to write us at info@xpministries.com. We would love to hear from you and help you further. But I just believe the answer to that question, Robert, is that we need to pray now for the emergence of those that will help. And we've got friends actually right now that are in nations where ISIS has got strongholds, and they have discovered sex slaves in those areas, and that they have found a way, and I can't divulge any details, but they found a way to help those people out. And so there are things happening right now. But maybe even as you're watching, or even some of you in this audience here in the studio tonight, might be called of God to actually reach out to those who are trapped and coming out of it. And they're going to be coming out. They are.
Well, you know, the Lord says the field is white unto harvest. And we tend to think of that, the nations, the poor, and that's all valid. But ISIS is a harvest field. So we need to pray for, just as you said, ministries to be released, for the harvesters to go out and meet the people in ISIS.
Amen. And I really believe in divine appointments. I mean, you know, you can go out and ask, oh, God, I just want divine appointments, like connect it. Because in the natural, how would you ever meet someone that just escaped from ISIS? But when God's in it, he can connect you supernaturally, and that becomes part of your testimony. So let's start believing for that.
I'm getting a word of knowledge right now for a woman named Tina. And Tina, you're watching this and you're actually weeping over this situation with ISIS, and you're thinking, but how can I do this? I'm so little, I'm so small. But just watch back everything we've been talking about tonight, because God's going to show you that you can be used, that your prayers are going to have impact. Tina, God is going to use you powerfully. You just follow that pull of your heart, and he's going to bring you into a place where your prayers help to shift things.
Amen. There's also someone that's watching this right now that you know someone whose child has been involved in some kind of a terrorist group, and you're not sure. I mean, they were in university and everything was going well, and all of a sudden something went south, and you've been trying to comfort your friend. The Lord's going to give you some divine wisdom to give to them, but your prayers count. And I just see that person being delivered out of that deception that they're in. Your prayers count.
Yes.
And don't just look at how terrible the situation is, but know that when you decree that they are free, that God will go to move on your behalf.
Amen. Okay, Patricia, here's another question. Is ISIS spiritual? Is it a battle for military might, or both?
Yeah, it's definitely both.
Definitely both.
I mean, it is a spirit behind it. In fact, you might want to unpack that a little bit more with the whole, you know, God behind it that is worshipped in that. But ISIS is definitely a spirit. There's a spirit behind it. But what it is after is authority. That's what the devil is always after, our authority.
Right.
So it tempts people to think that they want the authority.
Right.
You know? And so we are definitely working with a spirit. But the thing about ISIS, honestly, it is so blatant and in your face.
Yes.
I mean, there's nothing subtle about it. It's just out there. It's a proud thing. It's just like flaunting, look at me, you know? And, you know, it, of course, we, it's so sad to see all the executions and stuff that they've been, I mean, it's just, it just breaks your heart, but we're going to stop it. And that whole military might that they're contending for, we just break it down until it's dissipated and it has no strength left in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Okay, here's another one. Do you believe that there is enough prayer going out to battle ISIS and terrorism?
I think that we need more.
Yeah.
I think that we need more. When God gives a prophetic word, he gives you an insight on what is potential. Most prophetic words, Robert, as we've discovered, are not guarantees or potential. So when God speaks a word of something he's going to do, that's his plan.
Yes.
We know his plan. He's going to annihilate ISIS. But you know what? He won't do it without us. And so we have to partner with him and stand our ground until we stand our ground until we see the manifestation. I have absolute confidence in that word. Absolute confidence. It's coming down. I just see the different armies working together to take it out. It's going to be a glorious thing. But those armies that belong to nations that are going to take it out, they need you and I. They can't win it without you and I. They might not even know the Lord is on their side, but we know the Lord is in this. So we need to pray according to the prophetic word. And when you know the prophetic word and you pray and decree according to that word, then you'll see the manifestation of it.
That's
and
good.
All throughout the Bible, we see evidence of that. Like Elijah, he saw he heard the sound of the heavy rain. But just hearing the sound prophetically didn't bring the rain. He had to go up, put his head between his knees. He locked into prayer. And he remained there until the rain came. And that's what we have to do with this. We have to remain absolutely firm in our faith until we see that whole ISIS stronghold annihilated. Amen?
And even in the New Testament, Jesus taught that to the disciples. They were asking, how do we have impact in the earth? Teach us to pray. Jesus didn't say, well, just allow heaven to come to earth. He said, no, you pray like this. My Father who is in heaven, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You declare it. You pray it out, and then you'll see it.
Prayer always comes on the prophetic.
Okay. How about this one? How do I prosper while the economies in the world are crumbling?
Easy. It's easy to prosper. If you're a kingdom child, you will prosper as your soul prospers, okay? So when your soul is in line with God's word, what does God's word say? Is there anywhere in the Bible where God says, I'm not going to prosper you. I'm going to keep you in lack. I'm going to just let you eat the crumbs off the floor. And when everything's shaking around you, oh my gosh, you're going to shake the most. When the world systems are crashing, you're going to crash even more. Where does he ever say that?
Nowhere. Just the opposite.
The opposite. Uh-huh. The only thing that God says is that he is a God of abundance. And he says, I came that you would have abundant life. I came to meet all your needs according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know, his promises are yes and amen. And so it doesn't matter what the world's doing out there. God plus nothing equals everything I need.
Yes.
And I don't even know what it's all going to look like. I just know that I'm going to live in abundance. My soul is going to flourish every day of my life because I know him, because he is great.
That's right.
And so you just draw close to him, to his promises, and know that God plus nothing is everything that you need. And you'll always have more than enough. You'll have a life that overflows with his goodness. And we are in the world, but we're not of the world.
You know, I think it's a fair question, but it's a simple answer. How do I prosper while the economies in the world are crumbling? Well, the way you prosper is don't look to the economy of the world to be your source. Look to God
there
to be
you
your
go.
Source. Don't look to the world economy to prosper you. Look to the kingdom economy to prosper
you. And you know, Robert, if we do things the world's way, then we'll get the world's
results. That's right.
If we do things the world's way, when the world shakes, we'll shake with it. But if we do things the kingdom way and we serve our king and all of our trust is in him, then we're always going to have a fat soul. We're always going to have more than enough.
Amen.
He's so good.
Amen. All right, here's another one. How does Jude 1:9 relate to praying in regards to the Leviathan spirit? Jude 1:9 says, but even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not himself dare to condemn him for slander, but said, the Lord rebuke you.
Wow. Well, I think this is a very good question. Because what's behind that question is, okay, if Leviathan, for example, or the spirit behind ISIS are principalities and they're high-ranking demons, should we even tamper with that?
Right.
You know, but in Luke 10:19, Jesus said to believers, he said, "Behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall injure you."
There you go.
And he said, "I give you power to cast out devils," and he gives us power to address things. He said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Go therefore."
Right.
"Go into the nations."
Yeah.
And so God has given us authority, and I don't think anywhere in the New Testament ever does it say that we should be afraid of any level of spirit.
No.
Now, he's talking about Moses.
Yes.
Under the law, he let the Lord rebuke.
Right.
But we've got the Lord now who has completed, fulfilled the law, fulfilled all the law and the prophets, and has all authority in heaven and earth. Now, that all authority in heaven and earth didn't come to Jesus until he took the dominion through his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension. I mean, it's all his now. It's all his. And then he gave it to us. So we are in a different day. And I know that there's teaching out there that says, you know, don't work with the high level demons.
Yeah.
You know, it could wreck your life. I personally don't believe that. But at the same time, I don't believe that we're to be foolish and just say, "Oh, I think I'll go out and say, 'Come down, dark prince,' and you know, just go with presumption and not on the word of the Lord." But when you have the word of the Lord, when you have the word of the Lord, you can follow the word of the Lord, because a demon is really nothing. Even Satan himself,
that's
right, it says in Isaiah at the end, when he's finally revealed for what he is, it says, we're going to have to squint. It says, look narrowly upon him and say, "What? Is this the one? Is this the one that deceived the nation?"
So that's right.
You know, let's get that vision of him now.
He doesn't say be afraid. He says you're going to realize he's just a little spirit. Now, let me throw another question in there, since this talked about the Archangel Michael. Sometimes people will ask, "Hey, when we're praying into things like this, are we allowed to command angels? Are we allowed to send angels on God's behalf, or are we not allowed to because he's the Lord of hosts?" What do you think about that? What do you think about us commanding angels or declaring words that release angels? How do you feel about that?
Well, I feel that in Hebrews 1, verse 14, it says angels are our servants. They're ministering spirits. Ministry means servants, okay?
Right.
So, like, I have a gardener, and you have the same gardener.
Right, I do.
Yeah, we have a gardener. So they're, you know, the gardeners are our servants.
Yes.
Okay. And so we tell the gardener what to do, you know, trim this tree, look after this, you know, put some more fertilizer over here or whatever. We tell the gardener what to do and he does it. Okay.
Right.
So in Christ, we actually have authority in Christ.
Yes.
But in Psalm 103 verse 20, it says that the angels carry out the voice of the Lord's word.
Right.
Now, we're the voice.
Exactly.
So when we speak the Lord's word, we're the voice and the angels then carry it out. So
exactly.
If you want to play it really safe.
Exactly.
You know, and go where your faith metron is, okay? But if you want to play it really safe, decree the word of God and you're going to dispatch angels.
That's
even
it.
Without knowing
That's right.
it. As
That's
soon
right.
as you decree the word, because you're giving voice to the word.
That's right. Yeah, when we proclaim the word of God, angels are released to perform that word. So I agree, actually. I think that's right on. Okay, let's find another one here.
Let's just take one more.
Okay, one more.
And then we'll do some prayer. And
how do we pray for unity for President Obama and Benjamin Netanyahu in the Iranian missile conflict?
You go like this. Halara bakana mashakalara bakana
bakana. You know, that's such a great answer.
Man.
Because when God puts something on our heart, if we're not sure how to pray, if we pray in tongues, we are praying his perfect will. I love that answer.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, there are so many things that if we get political right now, we could miss the will of God.
Totally.
Because even in Jesus' day, the people of that day were very political.
That's right.
And they were thinking things were going to come together in a political way.
Right.
It didn't.
No.
He came as this little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, and it was different than what they had thought of. So they actually, many of them even missed recognizing the Messiah because mm-hmm. they had a political mindset.
Right.
And were contending for it.
Right.
And I think sometimes, even in our prayers, we're praying politically instead of according to the will of God. But when you don't know how to pray as you ought, you kick into tongues, and you'll pray the perfect will of God. And I think more than ever right now, we should be praying more in tongues
I agree.
Than in English.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah. Well, as you know, the Lord gave me a strategy recently that we as a ministry have embraced,
yes.
and it was a 40-day prayer mandate, 40 days, pray in tongues violently for a minimum of 30 minutes a day for 40 days, and you'll begin to see shifts. And it's very interesting to me that he gave us that strategy just before we started hitting the resistance and the warfare. He was equipping us to
yeah.
pray perfect prayers, knowing what we were coming into. So absolutely, when you get yourself in a situation that you know you need to pray and you don't know what to pray, pray in tongues.
Now, in just a moment, we're going to be releasing an impartation to you. We believe that when the Lord speaks prophetically, that he also will release empowerment to walk through that prophetic insight. And to work that prophetic insight, to see the fruit of it. You see, we can have revelation, Robert,
right.
but it has to be measurable.
That's right.
I mean, if I say, oh, yeah, the Lord showed me this, the Lord showed me that, but then nothing ever manifests,
yeah.
then, you know, it's not going to do much good.
Right.
We have to work that word and be empowered to work that word to its completion. So I always look for that measurability, the fruitfulness
yes.
of that word.
Yes.
And we've followed over the years, the different prophetic words that God's given us have come to pass.
Right.
And so that's what we want to live in. But we want to empower you to stir up that authority that God has given you in these areas that we've talked about tonight, because you have power over Leviathan.
Yes.
You have the power to increase, to multiply, and to have your provision replenished in this hour. You have power over terror, you know, because perfect love casts out fear, and the faith and the love that you operate in will annihilate forces in the earth that are harassing people in this hour. I mean,
amen.
I mean, we are living in a really blessed day. So we're going to pray for you in just a moment. But I want to review, first of all, want to invite you to Women on the Front
yes.
Lines. It's going to be so amazing. God actually told us it was his choice to have it at Angelus Temple. It's a historical building. There are angels. The Lord showed me an angel that has not been released since Amy Semple McPherson.
Wow.
That is going to be dispatched. And there's commissionings, apostolic commissionings, that are going to take place in the spirit at Angelus Temple. There's going to be a shift take place there during that event, March 9 to 11th. You'll want to be there. If you cannot be there in person, please sign up for the webcast. It's going to be awesome. And you can invite people into your home maybe to watch it, or, you know, download the sessions after and watch them, you know, at a comfortable time zone and that. So make sure you do that. Also, join us for the Israel tour.
Yes.
If you've never been to Israel before, sign up for our trip in October. And also know that we are doing a draw. Mm-hmm. So you can go online right now. Just go to the Women on the Front Lines. I think there's a link actually right in the Gifts for You section where you can just go there and get your tickets for that draw, because we're going to be sending, someone is going to get a free trip to Israel. It's an 11-day tour, including your travel days. And we're covering your airfare and your expenses on that tour. So it's
That's
awesome.
Amazing.
And so you are going to have an amazing time if you win that tour. And if you sign up for the tour and then you find out that you win the tour later, we'll just reimburse you your money, or you can give it to someone else if you want. It's your ticket to do with what you want. We're going to make the draw on Mother's Day, so
oh.
it's going to be really special. So get your tickets, and it's going to be going to be awesome. We also want to again feature the resources. I want to really encourage you to order The Serpent and the Soul,
Great
a
teaching.
Powerful teaching by Katie Sousa, and she goes into a lot about how the enemy is after your soul and how to get cleansed from that and delivered from that, and goes into the whole thing of Leviathan, the twisted serpent. So that's a great teaching. We also have the Divine Union book, Robert Hodgkin's book of decrees for marriages. If your marriages are under attack, and I feel that many of you that are watching, you're saying, that's me for sure. this book of decrees will help you. Remember, his word is a ferocious sword.
Yes.
It's a mighty sword, and this will help take out the enemy. And then this is a teaching. You can also buy the download online as well. And it's called Slaying Your Giants. Whatever those giants are in your life, you have power over them. We have Robert's teaching on victory, the Create Your World book. There's many things that are, when you go on the Gifts for You tab, there's three teachings that we're giving you for free. They're our gift to you. Enjoy those teachings. They'll fill your spirit. They'll empower you. They're awesome. There's some links there where you can watch for free the prophetic words, the enlarged prophetic words. We gave you just little snippets of them tonight, but all those prophets have the prophetic words up there in their fullness, either in text or in video. So just go on there, enjoy everything that we've got there for you. We put it out there just for you. And want to encourage you to sow into kingdom advancement.
Yes.
We're in a time of global outreach and harvest. We as a ministry want to put our hands to the plow like never before. And so we're inviting you to help us get out there to do it, to be part of that. You be part of it. And you might even feel to partner with this ministry. So you can go on your tab right under your screen. There's a tab there, or you can go right to our website on xpministries.com and give. And I know that you'll be blessed for that. Now, Robert, let's put our faith out and release this impartation.
Right.
I believe that this warrior spirit,
yes,
and I'm not talking about kind of warfare like, you know, in the natural,
right,
how we think of rah, 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 warfare. I'm talking about
spiritual
this authority
warfare,
that when you speak a word, it comes to pass. It puts the enemy into a place of fleeing. He's a fleeing serpent, the scripture says.
Yes.
And you're going to a new level. You're
mm-hmm.
going to a new level. So what I'll do is I'm going to empower them
okay.
to take out Leviathan.
All right.
And then why don't you do the replenishment and
yes.
increase, and then I'll come back and do the ISIS one, okay?
Perfect.
So get ready to receive, all of you that are in this studio and all of you that are watching, because we're going to release impartation. The Lord's given us faith for this.
Mm.
And so we freely receive the faith. Now we're going to give it to you. So, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we've freely received. Now we freely give. And I loose right now an impartation to everyone
Thank
that
you,
is
Lord.
In this room, to those that are watching on the web, an impartation of authority and the revelation of authority to take a stand against spirits such as Leviathan, the authority to move in the opposite spirit, to bring the light into the darkness, and to bring glory into these situations where there's been chaos.
Mm-hmm.
We thank you, Lord, that your people right now are connecting to you, Jesus, the King of glory, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty and valiant. What I'm seeing in my spirit right now is I see you taking the hand, literally taking the hand of the King of glory, and he's putting his sword in your hand. And there's going to be a new level of the execution of the Word of God through your life like never before in these coming days.
I speak to you in the name of Jesus Christ, and I call you all Gideons, and I say, arise, men and women of valor, and inhabit your place in authority in the Spirit. And as you do, you will be able to speak to all your situations and see the abundance of God come flowing into your life. I declare that everywhere the enemy has stolen from you or tried to devour what you have, that you will be replenished, you will be restored. And as you step out in faith, as you step out in expectation, you will see the windows of heaven open over your life and pour out a blessing that you cannot contain. In Jesus' mighty name, be restored, be revived, be renewed, be replenished.
Woohoo! Amen. I love that. That was powerful. And then finally, I speak an impartation of love that casts out fear.
Mm-hmm.
The power of love is going to accelerate in you to a point where if there's any fear around, it will be expelled. Because the power of love will wipe it out.
Amen.
And so in the name of Jesus, we declare the might and the power of love himself to rise up on the inside of you and to be released into the world around you, even to the destruction of forces such as ISIS and other terrorist groups that are bound in fear and that are trying to promote fear in the lives of others. We just break its power. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much for this time that we could spend together tonight. We thank you for joining us. We thank
yes.
you for our studio audience. You've been awesome. And we just give praise and glory to God. We'll see you next time. Next month, we are going to do a program for you on the Prophet Speak. We're going to be covering the subjects of, first of all, sexuality. We're going to be covering some very controversial things in that. And it's an area that just has to be looked at, right. You know, because there's so much perversion going on. And what does the Lord...